You probably know that a couple of weeks ago, my wife and I went out of town and we were celebrating our anniversary. So, you know, we're still not sure that it's going to last. It's been 39 years, so it's a little shaky. You know, we may not get there, but we're wondering. But you know what we did this time was we took a cruise. Now, anybody been on a cruise? Some of you been on a cruise? Now, you know what the highlight of the cruise is, right? Does anybody remember what is the highlight of the cruise? Eating. That's right. Yeah, that's the highlight of the cruise. And the fun part of the fun part is they have really nice dining rooms. Now, I was perfectly satisfied with the buffet. Yeah, because I could serve myself. I could get what I wanted. But, you know, we had to almost every evening. We got to, let me say it that way. Dress up and for the dining room, the waiters would come and they would escort us to our tables. It was a very nice place, and they'd treat us like an honored guest. A little chit-chat on the way to the table. How was your day? What excursions did you have? They'd pull your chair out for you. They'd slide it back under. You know, they'd take your napkins and put it in your lap for you. They begin to explain the menu for you along the way so that you would know what it was that they had there, make recommendations to you. It was quite a fun time. In short, they would treat you like royalty. And that's the kind of thing that David is talking about in the 23rd Psalm tonight. We're going to focus on just one little phrase as we continue to kind of unpack what he's saying to us in this psalm that we all know so very well. But this is a section that probably is a little unfamiliar to some of us, because he's talking about something in this section that is very, very familiar in an Eastern culture, but not quite so much in a Western culture like ours. Listen as I read that 23rd Psalm, then we're going to focus on one small phrase in there. David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That little phrase that we want to look at there is that section where David says, "You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows." Now, as I said, anointing is not really a very Western thing. It's not something that we're very familiar with at all, but it's quite familiar in an Eastern culture. And in David's day and age, it was not only a regular occurrence, it was symbolic of a number of different kinds of things. And so when David says to his culture, when David says to his people, when David says to those in an Eastern culture, "God anoints my head with oil," they completely understand an entire set of ideas that many of us are not familiar with at all, because it is not our culture at all. So I'm going to talk with you about two different kinds of things. I want to talk with you about the ordinary reasons for anointing, the kinds of things that people saw on a regular, everyday basis, because anointing was practiced regularly and it was a part of the hospitality of the culture. But then there is another section completely that David speaks to, and that is the spiritual reasons for anointing. And there's a whole different kind of issues that David is talking about here. And I think when he speaks about God anointing him with oil, he is incorporating all of those different ideas. So let's talk first about the ordinary reasons for anointing. Two things that are a part of the polite society in their day and age. Nothing unusual here. It's kind of what happens after you go to a really nice Mexican restaurant sometimes, or something, you go to a really nice Italian restaurant. On the way out, you'll notice that they have a little tray of mints or chocolate or something very nice, because if you had a lot of garlic, that would be a nice time to have a little piece of mint or a little bit of peppermint or something along the way. And so when David is talking about anointing, the culture of the day, the hospitality of the day, is something that was entirely familiar to the people. Anointing in that culture was a part of the hospitality, and it was renowned towards helping people to understand that you were extending favor towards them, you were extending blessing towards them, or that you were honoring them as a very special guest. And Eastern hospitality is renowned for its expression of honor towards someone. They took the idea of being a host very, very seriously. When someone welcomed you into their home, then it was incumbent upon them to make you feel like you were very significant, to make you feel like it was very important. So it was quite common that when a special guest came, when the guest of honor arrived, that sometimes they would anoint their head, sometimes they would anoint their entire body, sometimes they would anoint the feet. And the oil of anointing was made in many, many different kinds of ways, but it typically had spices and it typically had aromatics with it. And so the people, when they were anointed, they were shown and they were seen and they were felt to be a very, very honored guest. In fact, you see this in Jesus' life on a couple of different occasions. Jesus shows up at a feast one day, a fellow by the name of Simon the leper. And while he is at the feast, Mary comes in and anoints him. You see this on a couple of different occasions, one time his feet, one time his head. And what they're doing is they are symbolically saying, this is the guest of honor. This is the person that we have gathered together. This is the person that we have come to see. This is a very special person who has arrived here in our home. And so we're going to extend favor. We're going to extend a blessing. We're going to extend hospitality to them. So that's a part of what was an everyday part of anointing in a feast or a party or a gathering in someone's home. And then there's the second part of it, which is very symbolic of joy and gladness. There's a psalm, Psalm 104, verse 14, that says, God gives wine that gladdens the heart of man, oil, the oil of anointing, to make his face shine, to bring the joy and the gladness out of someone's heart and life, and bread that sustains the heart. And so the oil of anointing was sometimes one of those things that was done when you anointed them. You were expressing your joy at that person being in your midst. And when they received that, they were saying, you know what? It's a joy for me. I am glad to be here in your presence. And they were happy to be there in that place. So there's a time of rejoicing and a time of gladness. It's kind of like sometimes when you go to someone's house, they'll give you a party favor for being there. You know, I'm so glad that you came. I've got something that I want to give you. I've got something that I want you to take home. Sometimes you will do the same for them. You'll arrive at someone's home. You'll bring a gift. You'll bring flowers. You'll bring a bottle of wine. You'll bring something that you want to share as a part of the evening. And so when David says, listen, you anoint my head with oil, here is what he is saying. He is saying that God welcomes us into his presence. We didn't just slip in to the party when no one was watching. We have been welcomed as his children. And it gladdens his heart that we are with him. You remember the story of the prodigal son? There was a man who had two sons. And the younger son came to the father and he said, you know what, Dad? I'm tired of waiting for my inheritance. How about you give it to me now? And he takes his inheritance. He goes off to a far land and he squanders it. The scripture says, while he was away working in a pig pen, he came to his senses. And he said, you know what? My father's servants have it better at home than I have it here. I think I'll go home and spend time with my father. And the scripture says that his father, seeing him coming home at a distance, ran to him, welcomed him, threw his arms around him. Through a huge feast. A part of what would have happened at the feast would have been an anointing, a welcome. You have made my heart glad that you have come home. That's what David is telling us about God's heart towards us. David has been through this incredibly difficult time. Remember, when you go back and you read the 23rd Psalm, he has just said to us, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to be afraid of anything because God, you're with me. And then he says, not only that, but you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You make this incredible party. You make this incredible feast, this incredible buffet. But not only do you provide for me, it's not an act of obligation. It's not something, God, that you have to do. You welcome me. I have your favor. kind of what Jesus said to his disciples one day when he said, "You know what? I no longer call you my servants. Now I call you," anybody know what he said? "My friends. You're welcome in my house." So that's a part of the ordinary, everyday expectation of what takes place in anointing. We're an honored guest in the presence of God. But then there's another whole layer of reality that's going on here as well, and that's the religious significance for anointing. And I think David has included some of that in his thought pattern as well. Just as there were some ordinary, everyday reasons for anointing in that culture, there were some very highly symbolic religious reasons for anointing as well. And a couple of those are a little similar to what we just talked about, but then there's some more specific things that are going on as well. Anointing was used to indicate that something belonged to God and was set apart specifically for Him. If you go back and you look in Exodus 30, you'll see that when they were constructing the tabernacle in the wilderness, and they had all these implements that were used in worship. You know, they had the lampstand, and they had the laver, and they had the Ark of the Covenant. They had all these different pieces that were used in worship. Every single one of them was anointed. And it was set apart as a sacred item to God. There was usually a very specific ceremony that involved ritual and prayer and worship and anointing. As a matter of fact, the anointing oil that was used to set those items, those implements apart for worship in the tabernacle, it was a very specific formula that was made, and it could not be used for anything else. It was to be used specifically to indicate this belongs to God. And so when David says, "God, you anoint my head with oil," you know what he's saying? "God, you remind me that I belong to you. I'm yours. I make glad your heart when I'm in your presence." Anointing also indicated divine call and a stamp of approval to serve God. You see anointing taking place multiple different times in the Old Testament. You see kings anointed for service. Go back and look at the life of David. David was anointed king long before he took that position. What happened was Samuel the prophet called him to the side, and he anointed him privately and secretly. And the hand of God moved from Saul, then the king, toward David, the king-to-be. You see it with a prophet. The prophets were set apart with anointing. When they were called to speak to the people of God, quite regularly, they were anointed as the beginning of their ministry, as a sign of God's call in their life and a sign of God's stamp of approval. "This one belongs to me. Listen to what he or she has to say. This one is one of mine." The anointing did that. Jesus was often called in the New Testament 3 or 4 times the anointed one. The one who is called by God to speak to his people. So anointing indicated divine call and a stamp of approval for service to God. And so when David says, "You anoint my head with oil," he's saying, "God, I know that you have something for me to do. And I know, God, I don't always feel like I can be approved. I don't always feel like I am adequate. I don't always feel up to the task. But you, God, anointed me. You put your stamp of approval on me. And how can I argue with that?" When someone was anointed, it was a very physical act that was symbolic of a spiritual reality. God had called that person, and God put his stamp of approval upon their leadership and upon their ministry. It was a very public way of letting the world know, this one belongs to God. This is the king. This is the prophet. This is the one who is speaking on my behalf. And then finally, anointing was indicative of God's empowering by the Holy Spirit. You hear it in the Old Testament. It's said 2 or 3 times. It's quoted again in the New Testament. It's So when the oil was poured out, which is what anointing is literally a prepared oil, quite often olive oil that was mixed with aromatics, that was mixed with spices, mixed with cinnamon, mixed with all these different kinds of things that smelled beautiful, frankincense and myrrh, and it would be poured over the person. Sometimes their head, sometimes their feet, sometimes their entire body. And so anointing was indicative of God's empowering by the Holy Spirit. It was symbolic of God pouring out His Holy Spirit upon His people. So if this is the king, God has given the king His Spirit to be able to rule justly and in His name. If this is the prophet, God is giving the prophet His Spirit so that he can speak, or she can speak as a prophetess, for the work of God and the word of God to go forth. You see that regularly in the Old Testament. Just as the oil was poured out on the body, so people understood it was symbolic of God's Spirit poured out in our life. The prophet Joel said that, and it's quoted in one of the great sermons of Peter in the New Testament, I think it's the second chapter of Acts. He says He will pour out His Holy Spirit on His people. And when we have the Holy Spirit of God in our life, then we are empowered to serve Him. He calls us. He puts a stamp of approval on us, and He gives us His Spirit. So the thing that He calls us to and the ministry that He sends us to, He empowers us to fulfill. So I want you to think about those things tonight. They're all held in that small statement. You anoint my head with oil. What does that mean? It means that you are an honored guest in the presence of God. You are welcome in His presence. His heart is made glad when you draw near to Him and you spend time with Him. You bring Him joy as His child. I watch parents all the time who interact with their children. The kids will come running up and they'll wrap their legs around mom or dad's leg. And you'll just see the smile break out on their face. Because their children bring joy to their heart. Now, teenagers, sometimes not quite so much. But little ones, yeah, that works. And so what David is saying is, listen, you are welcome in God's presence. You're His friend. You're His child. He loves you. You bring Him joy when you are with Him. And you belong to Him. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Don't you know that you're not your own? You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. And so the anointing that comes is a stamp that God owns us, that we are His children. We belong to Him and we're called to serve Him. What does 1 Peter say? That we are priests, a holy nation, set apart to serve God. And then he says to us, not only that, but we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 2. In verse 20, listen to this. But you have an anointing from the Holy Spirit, and you all know the truth. So here's what I want you to reflect on this week. Here's what I want you to think about. God welcomes you into His presence. You never have to worry about whether or not you are welcome. You always bring Him joy as His child when you draw near to Him. Bought you at the price of His only Son. And He empowers you to serve Him. He calls you, sets you apart as His own. But He doesn't just wind you up and say, go do this. He gives you every single bit of strength that you need, every single bit of wisdom, every single bit of ability, talent that you need to honor Him, serve Him. So when David says, you anoint my head with oil, it encompasses all of those different things. I want you to take a moment. Think about that. Allow that to sink into your mind and heart. Think about which of those is most important to you tonight. Which of those will be most important to you this week? How does God want to speak to you about anointing? We'll take a moment of silence, prayer, and reflection. And then I'm going to ask Jeff and Eileen to come and lead us into our time of communion. Sit quietly with God for just a moment and listen for His voice.